And I trust that you will share the post and tune in and be just engaged and attentive to what the Lord has to say this morning. Well, I have to say also how thankful I am to be back. Thank you for your faithful prayers for my family. We are all doing better and rejoice in God's goodness there as well. I'm thankful, as I said earlier, for just how I can know in my heart that even when I'm out of the office for whatever reason, there are so many faithful servants here at the Creek that it just keeps on going. And for the glory of God, I'm just so thankful for that. But we know, again, we find our hope in the precious Word of God. Let's look there together. Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to read verses 15 through 20. The Bible says, "And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give you them to eat.' And they said," that's the disciples, "they said unto Him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He said, 'Bring them hither to Me.' And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to His disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full." With the Lord's help this morning, church, I want to preach a message to you entitled, "Keep Looking Up." Keep looking up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I confess to You this morning that I have no power in myself to help anybody. But I just pray that Your Word this morning and the power of Your Spirit would work in the hearts of every listener. And I pray, Lord Jesus, You would be exalted above all. And I pray that You would strengthen us in our faith and our resolve to love You and to trust You in all things. And I pray, dear God, that there would be a spirit of revival, even in today's meeting. And Lord, that You would be glorified. In Jesus' precious holy name, I do pray these things. Amen. Keep looking up. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? Someone perhaps is signing off and saying their goodbye or whatever the case may be, and they say, "Keep looking up." I've heard it many times, and there's something encouraging about that statement. There's something uplifting about that statement. There's something confident about that statement. But what is it? What is it that brings that confidence when someone says, "Keep looking up"? Well, I want to tell you, I believe it's a biblical statement. I believe we can find proof in the Word of God in the blessing of looking up. I want to focus your attention to the phrase found in verse number 19. Notice what it says there. It says the Lord Jesus, after he had taken the bread and the fish, it says, the Bible says, "and looking up to heaven." You ought to underline that in your Bible. You ought to underline that. If you make that a habit, that's a significant statement, and that is the foundational of today's message. The Lord Jesus looked up to heaven. Why did Jesus look up toward heaven? Why was that necessary? You know, I mean, I believe that it doesn't mean that we have to look up to pray, but Jesus did this time. I believe He looked up to heaven to show His dependence on the Father. He, remember, had thousands of people watching Him. He had His disciples watching Him. And at that very moment, holding the bread and the fish before all of these people, He looks up toward heaven, toward the Father, and He, in symbolic of a dependence upon the Lord, He gives us a sweet reminder that we must not forget to look up. It is not just looking upward, but it is looking upward toward God. It is looking up to God. Now listen, God is everywhere. Okay? God is everywhere. We believe in the omniscience of God. We believe that He's everywhere all the time. Now, we don't believe He is everything. That's pantheism. We believe that He is over all things, and by all things Him consist and are together. It is by His power, but we believe He is everywhere all the time. He's in all believers. He's in you. He's in me if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something about what we see here in our Lord looking up to heaven. The expression, keep looking up, can be a figure of speech, a metaphor, if you will, or a literal action. We see it throughout the Word of God, and we'll see it here even some this morning, that it shows and symbolizes something very important. It's that when we go through this life, we do not primarily look outward. We do not primarily look inward, but primarily we look upward. Upward to God. He is the one we are looking to, because my hope is in the Lord. And that's where I'm going to be looking to. So what are the reasons for looking up this morning? No matter what is surrounding us in life, no matter what we're facing, what is some reasons for looking up? Well, for the Christian, this symbolizes some fundamental truths of our faith. Looking up symbolizes that our belief, number one, it shows that we are looking toward the direction of headquarters. The direction of headquarters. Where is His throne located? The throne of God. Well, the throne of God is located in heaven. His throne represents power and authority. And when I look upward, even symbolically or literally, I am looking towards God's throne room. I am looking towards that place which where God controls all things. The definition of headquarters is this: a place from which a commander performs the functions of command. You know, the Bible states very clearly in Psalm 103. I'm not sure. Are we going to be able to see those on the screen? Are those going to come up? Okay. Notice what Psalm 103 says. Psalm 103 verse 19. The Bible says, the Lord hath prepared His throne where? In the heavens. And it goes on to say, and His kingdom ruleth over all. My friends, when I look upward, I'm looking towards headquarters. I'm looking up, showing that I have confidence that God is fully aware of everything going on in our lives, and He's working. Evil may seem like it's winning at times. It does. But God is beholding from heaven the good and the evil. And one day we can be assured that the Lord will bring swift vengeance upon all evil. Not one person will escape God's judgment who has rejected Christ. There will be a day of reckoning. The Bible says in Psalm 94:1, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth. And I need to be reminded this morning that, listen, when I hear that phrase, look up, it carries the idea of we're looking to God's authority. We are looking to God's control, His reign, His sovereignty, His kingdom. He's working. And I'm trusting. You know, on April the 11th, 1970, the Apollo 13 was launched from Kennedy Space Center. It was at about 210,000 miles above the Earth and 56 hours into the flight when one of the oxygen tanks blew up. Very serious problem. Alarms and indicators started going off left and right. And this is where the infamous quote of James Lovell is heard many times. Houston, we've had a problem. Of course, that was a major problem. But can I submit to you this morning, and by way of illustration, that there's never been such a message alarmed in heaven that, God, there is a problem. God's never had a problem. He's never had an alarm go off in heaven indicating a loss of control, indicating that there is trouble ahead. There's never been trouble ahead for God. And I'm thankful this morning and comforted that when I'm looking up, I'm looking to the one who has never faced trouble. The one who has never had an obstacle before him that he has not overcome. We know that there is no such thing as an obstacle for God. He is the sovereign one. And I'm thankful this morning that there's no messages or alarms saying, Lord, you've lost control of this continent. You lost control of Africa. Lord, I'm thankful there's no alarm saying, God, we've lost control, or you've lost control of the Middle East. I'm thankful this morning that there's no alarm going off and saying, God, you've lost control of America. There's been no such alarm. I'm thankful this morning that there's been no alarm in heaven saying, God, from His messengers, the angels, God, you've lost control of Washington, D.C. There's been no such alarm. You see, when I'm looking up, I'm looking to the one who's fully in control. Psalm 103:19, we read that. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 15. It may show up there on your screen. That was our design. But Deuteronomy 26, 15 says, look down, this is Moses, look down from thy holy habitation. From where? From heaven. And bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Listen to Solomon in his prayer in 2 Chronicles 6:21. Solomon goes on to pray, says, hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Now notice what he says. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven. Even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. Notice Psalm 14:2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. He looked down from heaven, His dwelling place, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, when He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Hey, my friends, when we're looking up, we're looking to good places. Places that are heavenly and where our God is and is controlling His world, the kingdom of the universe. That is what God is doing. I think of Acts chapter 7, verse 55. When Stephen, who was being stoned, he says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, what does it say? He looked up. He looked up, the Bible says, steadfastly into heaven. And notice what he says. He says there, as he looked up, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Wow. Stephen looked up and he saw the sovereign God, who was in control of even a horrible event, humanly speaking, that Stephen was experiencing. He looked up and he found confidence that God was aware of what was going on. And you know what? We have seen the sovereignty of God play out right there in that scene, because at the feet of where this man was dying was a man by the name of Saul, who would go on to write most of the New Testament of our Bible. And by Stephen looking up in confidence, even though he was losing his life through some violent and cruel and ungodly men, God was using it, that evil, to bring about a salvation to a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. Praise God. Keep looking up, church. Keep looking up, believer. And lost person who's an unbeliever, perhaps you're a skeptic, perhaps you're a doubter, perhaps you're a denier. I don't know what category you're in. But if you have not found Christ as your Savior, you need to start by looking up to God and asking Him to save your soul. I'm telling you, friend, we can look up, number one, because of headquarters. We're looking towards headquarters. Our God is in control. But then, let me remind you, number two, we can look up because it is the direction of home, sweet home. It sure is. Our home is not here on earth. Our home is in heaven. You know, when I was in the Coast Guard, I can remember being out at sea. You know, sometimes we would go anywhere from 30 to 60 days. Most of the time it was around 45 to 50. And it was only a 210-foot cutter, so it was really not a big ship. We didn't stay out nearly as long as some of the folks on these aircraft carriers that go out for months at a time, several months, sometimes six. They go out for a long time, but we would not go out that long. But nevertheless, that was a long time for our size ship, okay? And the happiest day on the ship was always, you guessed it, the day before we were to be back at our home port. Husbands were looking forward to getting back to their wives and their children, and wives back to their husbands, and our single guys back to their apartments and back to a home where home was. And I can remember the happiest day on the ship was that day before. Why was it the day before? It was interesting because that day we would have the best meal of the whole cruise. Because we knew we were coming back, we knew we were coming home, and so boy, they would break out all the good stuff in the freezer, the chefs would, and we would have a great meal, and then also we would be cleaning the ship, they'd be playing the music over the intercom, and man, everybody was just excited, everybody was joyful, because we were nearing the home port. You know, I think about that in light of Christians. You know, we ought to be excited, brethren, because we're nearing the home port. This earth is not the home of Brinson Jennings, neither for any other Christian believer. This is just a place that we are passing through as pilgrims for a specific task and mission. But my home is beyond the horizon. My home is in the heavens with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Notice these verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our home is in heaven. Our seat is in heaven. We're even there now, spiritually speaking. It's reserved. It's settled. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire, you guessed it, a better country. That's home. That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Listen to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation right there means citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm an American and I'm proud to be an American, but that is not my first and primary citizenship. My citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship is a Christian. I'm a child of God. And that's who I first and foremost represent. And there is even no comparison to any other citizenship. I'm a Christian. I represent Jesus Christ. And nothing should get in the way of that. Nothing should overrule that. Nothing should take the place of that. Nothing. No, my primary duty is for my citizenship that's in heaven to be a true representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says there in Peter, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as notice those two words, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. No, strangers, pilgrims. You know that word strangers there? It basically means foreigners. Did you know as a Christian, you are a foreigner here on this earth? I'm a foreigner. Did you know that God has not called us to come and fit into this world to be like everybody else? We're going to stand out. When I was a missionary in Africa, there in Niger, There were many days that there was no other white skinned person around, and I stood out. There's nothing I could do to change that. I just stood out as being different. I enjoyed my time there, but I knew I was a foreigner. Everybody else knew I was a foreigner. I was just a foreigner in that land. I want to tell you likewise, as Christians, we are foreigners here on this earth. And it should be obvious. Not because of we're mean and cantankerous. Not because we are not good to be around. But we are people who show and represent the life of Jesus Christ. And that's totally different than most of the world. Yeah, my friend, we're foreigners. Because we're on our way home. You know, I don't believe we should be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. But I do believe with all my heart, my friends, we can look up because that's the direction of home sweet home. That's where we're going. And I'm telling you, it's going to be here before you can blink an eye. Why? Because the Bible says life is but a vapor. It appeareth just a little while, and it's gone. We're going to be home before you know it. And what God is saying while you are on earth, you look up because that's where you're going. And that's where I desire for you to be heavenly minded and to be living in a heavenly way that brings glory to Jesus Christ. That is where our focus is. Speaking of back in military, I remember when I joined the military, I went off to boot camp and then when we would go out and spend months out away, I can remember not only being homesick about my home port, but I can remember being homesick about Greenwood, South Carolina. I can remember being at boot camp writing letters, and boy, I just love to hear about home. I mean, things that normally I wouldn't care anything about. I would ask, well, what'd y'all have for supper on Tuesday? What'd y'all eat? You know, I wanted to know what was going on at home. Did y'all go to the lake this weekend? Did y'all go camping? How's so and so doing? How's the garden doing? How's the this and that doing? Boy, you're just thinking of home. Boy, the heart would just be homesick. I can remember many times just asking about home, thinking about home. And I trust that today, if you're a true believer, that you are longing for home. Not forgetting about your earthly task that God has given us, but we're looking up. We're on our way home. Thirdly, not only are we looking up towards headquarters and looking up towards home sweet home, but number three, I submit to you this morning that we are looking in the direction of hope. Our hope. You say, why do you say our hope? Because I'm talking about our blessed hope. The Bible refers to the blessed hope in Titus 2:13 that we'll look at in just a moment as the soon return of Jesus Christ. And when I'm looking up, whether that be symbolically or whether that be literally, when I'm looking up, I'm looking in the direction that Jesus is coming. The Bible declares that He's coming to the clouds. He will call His bride, the church, and those that have rejected Christ will remain here on earth for the great tribulation. But believers will be called out of here, and we will be with our Lord forever, the Word of God says. That, my friend, is the reason we look up. We're looking for our Savior's return. One of my favorite things to do at the beach is watching the sunrise. In fact, this past time I was there in Alabama, there in December over Christmas, we were at the beach and we had some cold days. It was colder than I would have thought it would have been, but there were a couple mornings that it did get down into upper 30s, lower 40s. But it was cold out there in the mornings with that wind blowing, but I still went anyway because I loved it. And what I did this time is I just took my chair, and I've done this before, but I like going out there when it's still dark. You still see the stars. It's about sunset, 6:45. Get out there about 5:45. And so basically you just sit out there for an hour. So I got set up my chair. I got my cup of hot coffee, and I love just to see the transition from darkness to light. And I sit there and I just stare at that, just basically that one area. And at the Gulf is pretty cool because you get to watch your sunrises and your sunsets. But here I was watching the sunrise this particular morning, and I did it a couple mornings, in fact. But it's just a beautiful, the way you start off at dark and then the colors are just magnificent as they start changing. You start, first of all, seeing a lighter blue. Of course, the stars start fading. And then you start seeing just a hint of orange, a dark orange. And then you start seeing some blue, more blues and purples. And especially if there's some cloud coverage over it, they start glowing. The outer edges will start glowing up. And it's amazing just to see how it changes every few seconds. It's constantly changing. And it's all leading to one important point. That many people on the beach, by the way, are out there. Do you ever notice that? People out there in their pajamas to watch the sunrise. You know, they come out there with their cup of coffee, they watch the sunrise, and they turn around and go in. You and I have been there, done that. But you do. You look down the beach, and you see people all along the beach, and they're all standing. A lot of them, some of them are walking, but I see a lot of people that are just standing. A lot of them have their phones ready for the camera. And everybody, all of us, are focused on that one point. And what is that one point? It is for that one point for the sun to break over the horizon. And my friends, I want you to know that is a picture of what Christians are doing right now in waiting for the coming of our Savior. We're seeing all the beautiful colors that God is doing in this world. We're seeing how He's working and saving people. We see what He's done in the past and what He continues to do. But my friends, you know what we're waiting for? Yes, we're noticing what God is doing right now. But one thing that we're waiting for and longing for is for the sun to break. To break in the clouds. When Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise. And then once you're alive and remain, shall be caught up together forever to be with the Lord. Hey, we're looking up this morning. I'm looking for my Savior's return. Oh, yes, my friend. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen to 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that what we shall be, but we know that, get it, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself. He purifieth himself even as he is pure. Titus 2:13, looking, there it is, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You may have read recently, as we're reading through the New Testament in 90 days, you read Mark chapter 13. I'm going to read that. Listen, I believe the Lord is talking about His imminent return, the rapture. Notice Mark chapter 13, verses 34 through 37. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." My friends, I believe we can look up because that is the direction our Savior is coming. And I don't care what's going on around us. I don't care what's happening, my friends, but we know one thing's for sure. We can keep looking up. As you and I walk this pilgrim's journey, remember that we might just be that generation that welcomes our Lord's coming. And I want Him to find me, Brother Arthur. I want Him to find me, Brother Mark. I want Him to find me, Brother Mike. I want Him to find me watching, serving, loving Him, trusting Him, being the pilgrim He's called me to be, being confident that our God is working. I don't want to be sleeping, caught up in any kind of distraction that the devil is trying to throw my way. Listen, I have a friend and veteran missionary, David Edens. I have great respect for him, and he often tells me, and on the phone before we sign off, he often says, Thomas, he calls me by my first name. He'll say, Thomas, keep looking up. And I appreciate that, because it's a reminder to me that that's where our hope is. Our hope is in the Lord, because that's the direction He's coming. That's the direction of home sweet home. And that's the direction of the control room, the headquarters, the throne room of God. And when I'm looking up, I'm looking with confidence. Can I say to you today, friend, you may be at the bottom. You may even be without Christ. You may be tuning in today and you say, I don't even know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know whether or not my sins are forgiven. Let me tell you something, friend. You can know. You can know. Listen, you can't get to heaven by your religion. You can't get to heaven by going through religious formalities. You can't go to heaven just by being a good person. But you can go to heaven through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I want to tell you, if you're today without Christ and you don't know if you're saved, you can do that right now. Right where you're sitting, you utter something from your heart, something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I deserve hell. But Lord Jesus, I believe that You died for me on the cross and rose again the third day. And I'm asking You, Lord Jesus, to come into my life and save me. Be my Savior. I don't want my sin. I want You to save me from my sin. If you will utter something like that from your heart and you mean it from your heart, I want to tell you, God is bound by His Word. He will save you immediately. You don't have to get cleaned up. God will clean you up. You come to Him as you are and say, Lord, I believe the gospel. And if you've done that, I want you to know the Lord will save you. He has saved you if you called out to Him. You write down Romans 10:13 in your Bible right now. Write it down on something. Romans 10:13. And please do this. If you are calling out to God for the first time for salvation, would you send me an email? Would you send a message to our church website, to our Facebook message room? Please let me know. I want to send you a special gift with some literature to help you grow in the Lord. And then I want to speak to you believers here just for a minute. Are you looking up this morning? Are you looking up in confidence? Don't get distracted by the things of this world. Don't let them get you down. The redemption draweth nigh. Let's not waste this time with pettiness. Let's not waste this time with distractions. Let's be stewards of this time as the children of light who are going to the children of darkness with the light of hope, the salvation that they desperately need. Let's not let the devil lull us to sleep with anything. But may we be alert, watchful, and looking up. Would you pray with me?